Turn, please, if you would, to the book of Joshua. Joshua chapter 22. Joshua 22. We find in Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 through verse 20, what we call the Great Commission. Jesus is leaving and returning to heaven, but before he departs, he gives the church her marching orders. He commits to them a specific responsibility. He charges the church. The manager over a sales group will meet with his reps, hoping to extend encouragement unto them to sell, sell, sell. He gives them a charge as he dismisses the meeting. The coach gathers his team together before they leave the locker room for the field or court. He encourages his players. He tries to fire them up, and he charges them to play their best. The general calls his troops together before they depart on a military campaign. He speaks of honor and courage. Before they dismiss, he charges his soldiers to fight the fight. From my perspective, our text today is a charge. It is a commission given to family which directs them to be followers of God. And being a follower of God is a good thing. So it is my objective to discuss the charge given by Joshua and its application toward then the saints of God. Therefore, I have entitled the message, The Christian Charge. That's what I believe we find here. It'll be Joshua chapter 22, verse 5. In a few moments, we'll read it. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for the privilege to be in your house once again. And thank you for these that are here. Our heart goes out to those that would love to be here but cannot due to sickness and providential hindrance. We ask that you bless them and meet those needs and heal the sick. And Lord, we just ask that you would bless now as we've come together and we are here, that you would set our minds from the thoughts and the cares of the world, that we would not be distracted, that we would focus upon that which you've laid upon my heart to share at this time, and bless your word as it goes out, and just work it into every heart by the work of your Holy Spirit. We pray for the lost that they might be saved, and we who are saved might be strengthened. I bless your word as it goes throughout all the earth today, and we know it shall not return unto you void, and we give you the glory for that. We love you today. We thank you for this time, and we ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. I want to think about the Christian charge, but it's necessary to notice a little bit about the context of Joshua chapter 22. Our text will be verse 5. By way of context, I need to remind you that Israel had a marvelous escape from Egypt and how they wandered through the wilderness for 40 years. And all that time, Moses had led the nation. It was Moses who had gone up into the mount to receive the Ten Commandments and the laws of God. It was Moses who interceded for the people for those 40 years. It was Moses who taught the words of God, and it was Moses who died before Israel's entrance into the promised land. But God did not leave them without a leader. Joshua, who had assisted Moses throughout the wilderness campaign, was appointed by God to take the leadership reins. It was Joshua who brought the children of Israel over the Jordan River and into their inheritance. You can read in Joshua chapter 3 about the exciting, miraculous river crossing. I would also remind you that from among the tribes of Israel, Reuben, Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh received their inheritance on the eastern side of the Jordan River. And God gave them that land, but on one condition. When Israel crossed over into the land of promise, the men of war from those tribes had to also pass over. It was their responsibility to help the remaining tribes gain control over the new land. And so it was. For 5 years, those warriors fought side by side with the other tribes. But now it was time for them to return home. They had fulfilled their duty. It was a job well done. The prior verses in this chapter tell us of Joshua's permission for them to depart. Therefore, it is in our text where we find Joshua extending to them this charge. And yes, it is time for them to leave, but there is something they should always remember. And Joshua then charges the soldiers, "But I submit unto you that this charge belongs to us as well." Verse 5. "But take diligent heed to do the commandment and the law which Moses, the servant of the Lord, charged you." Notice. "To love the Lord your God, and to walk in all his ways, and to keep his commandments, and to cleave unto him, and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul." Two things that I see in this passage, very simply. The first half of the verse I consider to be the challenge, and the second half is the charge itself. Let's consider the challenge, the first part of verse 5. "But take diligent heed to do the commandment and the law which Moses, the servant of the Lord, charged you." Joshua tells these soldiers as they prepare to depart that they need to respond well to the instruction that had been given to them by Moses. Now, I also submit unto you that Joshua's charge involves Moses' charge. What we read in the last part of the text is indeed what Moses charged to them. And Joshua is charging that then to the tribe of Reuben, Gad, and the half tribe of Manasseh, as well as I believe it would extend to all the nation of Israel. But I want you to think for just a second that the reference to Moses demonstrates a shared ideology. I mean, Joshua had traveled with Moses all through the wilderness. And now that Joshua is in command of the nation, he doesn't change the perspective. He doesn't change the viewpoint. He doesn't alter God's desire for the children of Israel. So he tells them, "What Moses charged you, I'm going to charge you as well. When you go home, this is what you need to take with you." And so Joshua, in the beginning half of this text, challenges the tribes of Reuben, Gad, and a half-tribe of Manasseh, and he exhorts them to take their responsibility seriously. Here's the challenge. He says in the beginning of the verse, "But take diligent heed." The word diligent means to be vehement. It is to be exceeding. It is to really put into the effort. Can I just say it that way? That's the way we would think about it. And so to be diligent, and we know what that word means, even in our society. So he tells them to take diligent heed. That word heed means actually, properly, it is to hedge about. And so it is to guard. So you'll find this word translated in the scriptures as to be beware, or to be circumspect, or to observe. Take diligent heed. To what? To those things which Moses, the servant of the Lord, had charged you. 5 years prior, before you ever crossed over, you were charged by Moses before his death. Now you're going back. I'm giving you that same charge. This is what you need to do. Recognize when we look at this first part of the verse and this challenge that Joshua offers unto them, and we'll notice again this charge and take the rest of our time on this charge, is that, one, Moses was the servant of the Lord. Now, some people question that. Some people say, well, you know, he was just some leader. But he really was a servant of the Lord. That's what the Bible tells us, calls him that. Secondly, what he charged them then would be God's will, isn't it? Here's Moses, the servant of God, charging the nation of Israel, and that is indeed God's will. And so, as I mentioned unto you, for me, this first half of the verse, it's a summary. The second half is a digression. Moses had charged them to what? And that leads us to the second half. So we have the challenge in the first part of the verse, but then notice the charge. Once again, look into the text. We'll read it all again, and then we'll come back, and there are five elements that are found in this verse, and we'll look at each of these five elements. And so Moses, the servant of the Lord, charged you to what? To love the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, to keep his commandments, and to cleave unto him, and to serve him with all your soul, or heart, and with all your soul. Here's the charge. Now the word charge means to constitute, or it is to enjoin. That is, it's placing upon a responsibility upon others. And so this word may be translated, you'll find in the Old Testament scriptures, as the word appoint, or as in our text, the word charge. It may be translated as the word command. But as I made reference at the very beginning, you know, that general commands his soldiers, go out and fight. The coach charges his players. And so here's Moses. Moses had charged them, had commanded them these five things. And so here's the charge that Moses gave, and Joshua is giving it to them once again. Five things. First one is this: to love the Lord your God. By the way, if you have any confusion whatsoever, I'm giving you the same charge. I want you to receive this charge. To do what? To love the Lord your God. Now, was that something that Moses told them? Listen, if you will, for just a moment. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 5. Moses, is by the Spirit of God, was the author of the first five books of the Bible. These references that I offer unto you, it's going to be found in the book of Deuteronomy, which Moses penned. This is Moses' command. Did Moses charge the children of Israel to love the Lord their God? Deuteronomy 6, 5 says this: and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. In Deuteronomy chapter 11 and in verse 1, listen if you will, he said, therefore thou shalt love the Lord thy God and keep his charge and his statutes and his judgments and his commandments always. Moses had told the children of Israel, love the Lord your God. In fact, we see a few other elements that are expressed a little bit further in our text itself. But love the Lord your God. Psalm 97, verse 10, the first part of the verse says, ye that love the Lord, hate evil. Do you think if you love God that it's going to make a difference in you? Will there be a change? I believe that there will be. Love is a disposition of the heart, isn't it? And we're being told to love our God. You know, those that are lost, if you're here and you're unsaved, you do not love the Lord your God. You might think that you do, but the Bible says as a lost person that you're an enemy of God and that you're fighting against Him. And yet you're told to love the Lord your God. And so I would say to every lost person here, that's the first thing you need to do is change your heart and your mind, and you need to turn your heart to God and love Him. Love is a disposition of the heart. And as we are in our heart is how that we're going to respond. Moses commanded the children of Israel to love the Lord their God. Joshua says, you'd love the Lord your God. Why? Because love impacts us. Love impacts our ideals. It impacts our thoughts. It impacts our actions. It makes a difference. Do you love the Lord? I encourage you to love the Lord your God. You say that you're saved. Then love Him. Yes, actively love the Lord your God and recognize that He is to be your primary focus. What do I mean by that? Was it okay to love your spouse? Yes, it is. Is it okay to love your children? Yes, it is. Is it okay to perhaps love your job? Yeah, there's nothing wrong with loving other things, but who should be the ultimate priority of love in your life? You ought to love the Lord your God. Jesus expressed it this way, and I'm going to read to you a passage out of the book of Matthew in chapter 6 that was on the Sermon on the Mount, and Jesus said in verse 24, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. You see, that you can only really, truly love one the most. There's no equal love in that. And so love the Lord your God first. And by the way, I believe that if you really love the Lord your God first and foremost, if He is indeed a priority to you, then you will love your spouse as you ought to. And you'll love your children as you ought to. And you'll love other people as you ought to if you love the Lord your God first. This is a commission that's given from Joshua to these people as they depart. You need to love the Lord your God. Notice the second thing, Joshua chapter 22, verse 5. He also says, and to walk in all His ways. Was that Moses' desire that the children of Israel walk after the ways of God? Well, we've already seen some indications of that. But Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 6, listen to this. Therefore, thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God to walk in His ways and to fear Him. That's kind of clear, isn't it? Did Moses say, hey, Israel, keep God's commandment, walk in His ways? He did. Turn, if you would, to Psalm 128. Psalm 128. Verse 1 says, "Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in His ways." Well, that's interesting, isn't it? Those who love Him will be followers of Him. We're told to love the Lord our God. And if we love the Lord our God, what will we do? Well, we'll hate evil. We already read that earlier. But it is this, we'll walk in His ways. Everyone that feareth the Lord, they walk in His ways. And that's why we are blessed. We do have, we all have a realm of activity, don't we? You have a walk. And day by day by day, you have a walk, you have an activity, you have a testimony. What kind of walk should I have as a child of God? I ought to have a walk that reflects that I love God. And not only that I love Him, but because I love Him, I walk in His ways in my daily activity. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 8. Let me read this to you. Ephesians 5, verse 8. He says, "For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them." You see, as children of God, we ought to walk as children of light. Why? Because we love God. That's why. And we're charged to walk in His ways. And we ought to love the things of light. In fact, those things of darkness, we are to reprove those things. We should not have any fellowship with those things. A couple other verses. Colossians chapter 1, verse 9 says, "For this cause, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you." So Paul's praying for the Colossian believers. He says, "And to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God." Do you think that's part of it, my dear friend? You know that you're saved and you love the Lord your God. But if you love the Lord your God, what are we commanded to do? We are to walk in His ways. Moses, looking at these tribes, they're getting ready to go back across the Jordan River. They're going to the eastern side. And he says, "You know what? I'm going to remind you of the charge that Moses gave to you. And I'm giving you the very same charge. When you leave this place, don't forget God. You need to love your God. And you need to walk in His ways." Back in our text, Joshua chapter 22, the third element that we find in the text. We need to keep His commandments. Is that what you see there in the text? To keep His commandments. Did Moses exhort the nation of Israel to keep the commandments of God? Deuteronomy chapter 13 and in verse 4 it says, "Ye shall walk after the Lord your God and fear Him and keep His commandments and obey His voice, and ye shall serve Him and cleave unto Him." Turn, if you would, to Ecclesiastes and chapter 12. Ecclesiastes. Chapter 12. Solomon wrote Ecclesiastes, and he just really had a difficult time with life because he was focusing about the wrong things. But when he come down to the end, he comes to this conclusion. And in Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and in verse 13, after all what Solomon complained about throughout the book, he says, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man." Was the wisest man that ever lived outside of Jesus Christ, was he accurate? Absolutely. What is our responsibility? To fear God and to keep His commandments. Did Moses charge the nation of Israel to keep the commandments? He did. Did Joshua extend that same charge to Reuben, Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh? He did. Fear God and keep His commandments. You're welcome to turn to 1 John chapter 3 if you desire to. chapter 2 rather, 1 John chapter 2, and in verse 3, John writes and he says, "And hereby we do know that we know Him if we keep His commandments." How does a Christian know and have a confirmation or an affirmation that they're saved? How do they know that? You know why? Because they love God, they walk in His ways, and they keep His commandments. That's how we know. If you look over to 1 John chapter 5, and in verse 2, John wrote again, he says, "By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous." And so what do we find? His ways, we're to love God and walk in His ways, but His ways include His commandments, don't they? And so if I'm going to love God the way I ought to, then I'm going to walk in all of His ways and I'm going to keep His commandments. But what's necessary if I'm going to do that? If I'm going to keep God's commandments, I have to, first of all, know about them, don't I? I have to have a knowledge of the commandments. It's good that you're in the house of the Lord today to hear the Word of God preached so that you can hear what God has to say. By that knowledge, then, you can plug that into your life and you can respond to that and you can love the Lord more and walk after Him in obedience. You want to keep His commandments, but if you don't know what those commandments are, it's going to be very difficult to do. So if I'm going to keep God's commandments, I have to know what those commandments are, and then simply I need to respond. I need to be obedient. Now, I know that that's not an easy thing to do. I have trouble with that, don't you? Don't you know what to do sometimes, but you just don't do it? We all struggle with that, but we're told that we want to love God and we want to keep His commandments. And so I submit unto you that those who love and those who walk will desire to keep His commandments. I have a real problem with people who profess that they're saved and they have no desire to walk after God. They have no desire to be obedient to the commandments of God. And they really don't really demonstrate in their life that they even love God. And yet you can't shake them from that profession that they have. Isn't that a sad thing? Because a genuine profession, I believe, is going to be one where a person truly does love the Lord their God. And then they're going to walk in His ways and they are going to keep His commandments. I didn't say we'd be perfect all the time. But boy, that's going to be a desire in our heart because God in His Spirit dwells in our heart. In fact, Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 15, "If you love me, keep my commandments." Well, that's just pretty clear, isn't it? What's God's desire for me? That I keep His commandments. If you make a profession of faith today, you say that you're saved, what's God's desire for you? That you keep His commandments. Joshua charges the nation and tells these tribes, you need to love the Lord your God, and you need to walk in His ways, and you need to keep His commandments. Well, let's look at the fourth element, Joshua chapter 22, verse 5. What else are they supposed to do? And to cleave unto Him. Cleave unto Him. Now, we've already seen some indicators of that, but listen, if you will, Deuteronomy chapter 10 and in verse 20, Moses still writing says, "Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God, Him shalt thou serve, and to Him shalt thou cleave, and swear by His name." Cleave. Cleave unto the Lord. That word cleave means to cling. It is to adhere. You'll see it translated as to abide fast, or to be joined to, or to be joined together with. It is to cleave. Listen, if you will, to Acts chapter 11 and verse 23. Acts 11, 23 says, and talking about they sent Barnabas to go to Antioch, and it says, "When he came, he had seen the grace of, and had seen the grace of God, and he was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord." Barnabas travels up to Antioch, sees these Christians in their demonstration, and he says, "You cleave unto the Lord." That was his charge to that church. Cleave. Our text tells us that Joshua charged them to cleave unto Him. So God is to be primary, isn't He? Who should we stick to closer than any? We stick to God. We should be glued to the Lord. We should adhere unto Him. God is primary, and God is the priority. He should be number one, shouldn't he? Cleave unto him. Remember, we already read, we can't serve two masters. And so we're going to have one primary master, and that priority ought to be God himself. And I submit unto you that this is an active attachment. Will you cleave? We read in the New Testament scriptures how that a man is to leave his father and mother and to cleave to his wife. That takes some effort. It takes effort for a man and wife to cleave together. It's an activity. And we're encouraged in the text here to cleave unto God. Will you, dear Christian friend, purpose in your heart, cry out to God for his grace and his mercy so that you might cleave unto God? Cause me to cleave unto you, O Lord. That's the charge that's given here. And so in our text, he says that you will cleave unto him. Remember, that word means to abide fast. So it is also the idea that it's going to evidence perseverance. We're not talking about somebody that says, oh, I love the Lord my God, and then 5 years later, I can't stand God. You know, God doesn't mean anything to me. That's not cleaving, is it? You read in the New Testament scriptures where there were those who walked with the Lord Jesus Christ. They were professed followers of him, but it says they walked away from him never to follow him anymore. Were they cleaving to him? No, they were not. And I encourage you, dear friend, to look into the passage here and take this charge and bring it home to your heart and recognize that as a child of God, you need to cleave unto God. May I cleave unto the Lord. May you cleave unto the Lord. And so we see this charge borne out from Moses to the children of Israel, from Joshua to Reuben, Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh. I'm giving you this same charge. Let's look at the last item. Joshua chapter 22, verse 5. This is the fifth element that they're being charged with. And to serve him, how will this be done? With all your heart and with all your soul. Serve the Lord. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 13. This is what Moses had told the nation. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God and serve him and shalt swear by his name. You will serve the Lord. Turn, please, to Psalm 2. Psalm 2. A couple of psalms I'll ask you to look at here. The second psalm. Do you think we ought to be found to serve him? I believe that we should. Psalm 2, verse 11. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. That's what we're told. Go to Psalm 100. Psalm 100. What do I read? I read in verse 2. Psalm 100, verse 2. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Serve the Lord. Do you think there's an indication there for those of us who name the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that we ought to be serving God? I think so. Listen, if you will, to Colossians chapter 3, verse 24. Paul, writing to the Colossians once again, says, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of your inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. And it's true of those believers back then at Colossae. It's true of us today in Bartlett, Tennessee. If you know the Lord, then you serve the Lord Christ. Do you serve the Lord? Do you desire to serve the Lord? And so I submit unto you, as we've already indicated, that even with the other things, and then they all just kind of meld together, don't they? They kind of cross over onto each other's paths. But we find that we're told in the text to serve the Lord your God. Serve him. So these things will result in an outward active lifestyle. Do you believe that? I do. If you're saved, if I'm saved, there's going to be a difference in my life. There's going to be a difference in your life. And if I'm going to serve the Lord, that's going to be evident. And some of that will change as we change vocations or change locations or as we age or whatever, but we're going to be found to serve the Lord. It will result in an outward active lifestyle, and we should render service to God. Ask yourself, dear Christian friend, what do I do to serve the Lord? And we're told to serve the Lord. May we do that. Now, we also read in that text how that service should be accomplished. It said, and Joshua charged them with all his your heart and with all your soul. So our service to God should be what? Wholehearted. Not half-hearted, but wholehearted. You ever worked with people that kind of just halfway did things? That's kind of aggravating. You know, you're trying to do your job, you're trying to do it well, and they just kind of half do it. Their heart's not really in it, is it? Well, that's not the way we ought to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. In Matthew chapter 22, and in verse 37, we have the great commandment. And the first part of that great commandment, Jesus speaks and he says unto them, thou shalt love the Lord your God with what? With all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. There's where it is, isn't it? The text tells us that you need to serve Him with what? All your heart and with all your soul. Serve God wholeheartedly. Those are the five elements of this charge. Let me pass on to my third and final point, which is my conclusion, but it's the choice. The choice. Here's Joshua looking at Reuben, Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh, said, you can go home. And he gives them this charge. I submit unto you as we depart, we receive this charge. Every now and then you'll go into a church parking lot somewhere, and as you leave, they'll have a sign near the street that says, you are now entering the mission field. Now that's a good concept. That's a good recollection, isn't it? To know that, you know what, yeah, you come here and you worship here, but the mission field is out there. And so as you leave this place, as you depart today, there's no sign out there, but you're going to depart here in a few moments. When you depart, I charge you. That's what Joshua is doing to them. They're going to depart, and he charges them. So we receive this charge as we depart. But if you'll consider also, these guys are going to depart. They're going to cross the Jordan River. They're going to go back home, and they're going to be with their families and settle back into the daily life. And so this charge not only is, hey, when you leave, but when you get over there and when you settle in, you see this charge is to be received. So when you depart, you receive the charge. When you enter in, you receive the charge. That is, day by day. Don't let it slip from your heart. Don't let it slip from your mind. When you depart from here and you go out there, when you enter in, still keep this charge in mind. That's what's that Joshua's intention for them. I thirdly would submit unto you that the charge is not original with us. I give you this charge. I'm saying, hey, this is what we ought to do. This is a charge. But it certainly isn't original with us. Well, because I've demonstrated to you that Moses gave that charge to begin with. And then Joshua offered that charge. But I extend the same charge to you. This is nothing new. And it will never be new. But it is our desire that we would be charged with these things, that we would fulfill the charge which has been committed to us. Number four, we are not alone in this charge. We're not the only ones that have the charge. The children of Israel had the charge. The children of Reuben and Gad and half-tribe of Manasseh had the charge. Yeah, and really, truly, every church of the Lord Jesus Christ has this charge. And I'm charging you today. And we're not the only ones. We need to keep this charge. And so I submit in the fifth aspect that as Christians, we have an obligation to this charge. Do you think this charge belongs to you? I hope that you see that it does. When you see that it does, you'll recognize that you have an obligation to it. How shall we choose? How will I choose with knowing this charge? How will you choose knowing this charge? And so I submit unto you, number six, may we faithfully fulfill this charge. That song that Steve Green sings, may all who come behind us find us faithful. Find us faithful. May we receive this charge with responsibility, and may we accept it gladly, and may we fulfill this charge. And I say unto you, dear lost sinner, today your greatest need is the Savior. This charge really is an invitation for you to come to Him. You can't do these things outside of Him. But would you repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ today? Will you love Him with all your heart and all your soul? And once you're saved, you recognize that this charge will belong to you. You will step into this charge. Sinner, I point you to Jesus that you might be saved. Outside of salvation, you have no hope. Outside of Christ, there is no Savior. Would you be saved today? And then would you accept this charge? We're going to stand in a moment. We're going to sing. And you're going to leave this place. But as we depart, I extend unto you the same. I charge you to love the Lord your God and to walk in all His ways and to keep His commandments and to cleave unto Him and to serve Him with all your heart and all your soul. That is the Christian charge. Let's stand. Let's stand. God in heaven, help us to recognize these truths, and I pray that you would apply it to our hearts by the work of your Holy Spirit. And may we accept this charge, and may your grace rest upon us that we might faithfully fulfill it. Cause your people to love you and to be drawn to you. We pray for the lost that they might be saved. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Number 3.